to win the world for Christ, for Jesus Christ. You've heard many times this week how to win the world, in which different ways. And I want you to be ready with your Bibles, with your sword, because I'm going to give places where we can read, and I'm going to say exactly how I want it done. So please be ready with your sword. Are you ready? You've got your Bibles ready? Right. First of all, why must I win my world? Why must I win my world? Can I ask three of you? You must all be ready. Let's see who will be first. Three of you to read Matthew 28. One will read verse 18, another will read 19, and another one 20. Let's see who's got it first. Three people to stand. The first three. Number one, number two, and where's number three? Okay. Can you read and read it nice and loud? Can somebody please handle for us the microphone? Please, somebody, come and switch it. Thank you. Can you hand it to the next one? Read it slowly, and all of us listen carefully. We always say to the students, eat the Bible, eat it, take it, focus on it, and take it, make it part of your life.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
So the first reason why I must win my world is because God has commanded it. God says, go, go, take the gospel. There's a legend that when Jesus rose from the dead and got to heaven as the victor, can you imagine how the angels welcomed him? And now they stood and in jubilee shouted, Jesus is home, he's come back. And then the angel said, Lord, now who's going to take the gospel to all the nations? And the angel said, we are ready, we'll go, we'll finish it. In a few weeks' time, the whole world will know the gospel. Jesus said, no, no, no. I've trained 12 disciples, I've sent out 70. And the angels looked at the Lord in surprise and said, Lord, and what if I don't do it? The Lord said, I have no other plan. I've chosen people, weak, sinful, scared people, to take the gospel. God chosen you and me to go with this wonderful story that God loves us, that God died for us, that God sent us out. The next verse, Matthew chapter 9. Now can I ask that the three who read now will not read again, but three other people. I'm looking for four people now. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, 36, 37, and 38. Where's the mic? Matthew 7, verse 35. Read slowly and loudly that all of us can hear the word. Matthew 9, verse 35.
For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
No, no, no. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 35.
Sorry. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness.
Verse 36.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd.
Verse 37.
Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Verse 38.
Therefore, be earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the days of harvest.
Yes, my friends, we read here, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. I must bring my word because God needs me to go. He wants to send me to go. The people are tired, the people are on their way to hell. And Jesus loves the harvest. He loves you and me with a passion that words cannot describe. And now we read, I need two people, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19.
As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And his brother Andrew, and they were fishermen.
Verse 18 and verse 19, the next one.
And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
The Lord said, come after me, and I will make you fishers of me. That's why we have to win the harvest, because God is changing us into fishermen to go for the lost souls. And then we need another two to read for us, very serious texts. We have to read them slowly and clearly. Revelation chapter 20. I need two people, verse 12 and verse 15. Revelation 20, verse 12 and verse 13. No, 15. Revelation 20, verse 12.
And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the book was open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their work by the thing which they were written in the books.
Verse 12 and verse 15. 20, verse 15.
And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Thank you. Thank you to all those who read. Friends, the reason why we have to win our world is because there is a hell waiting. Friends, there's a hell now. There are people now in that hell that will never get out there. Never. Never, never. Even when time has stopped, and you know at a certain time, an angel will stand with his one foot on the sea and one on the land, and it says, time stops now. And then eternity will start. But eternity is forever and ever and ever. There are people sliding into hell, and you and me are called by God to win our world, to save people from hell. Our first question was, why win my world? The second one is, who wins this world? Can we all stand? Can we say together? Can we say together? John 3, verse 16. And show through your hands with me, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's do it again. Teach it to the children, but we must know this verse by heart. The most wonderful verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sit down. It is the triune God who wins the world. You know, the Lord has blessed me to be a radio broadcaster for many years. And when I was with Transworld Radio and I had a program where you had to interview missionaries and people with wonderful testimonies, we always ask them, tell us, how did God find you? And some look at me in surprise because they say, that it's always asked, how did you find God? Isn't that so? How did you find God? No, God found you. When we face through the Bible, when we look at our lives, God found us. He was hunting for us. When we look at the Good Shepherd in Luke 15, who went to seek and save that sheep was running away, but God went and he found him. When we look at Adam, how God was calling Adam. Adam was running away from God, hiding. God gave the stick to fetch him. When we look at Abraham, Abraham was a total heathen. And under the stars, God said, Abraham, I want you to be my child. God called Abraham. Abraham didn't call God. None of us called God. And when you look at your life, when you see how God has been caring for you, gave you a praying granny, he gave a track, he gave something with which you found that there is a God in heaven who loves me, who wants me, got a plan for my life. When you look at who wins the world, we know it is God. That little boy Samuel, he heard God in the night, Samuel, Samuel. He heard the voice, and that is how the Lord found him. When we look at Philippians, can I ask two of you to read it? Philippians chapter 2, if you've got it first, verse 12 and 13. There's number one, Philippians 2, verse 12, and someone else, 13.
Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's now your part. Because, verse 13.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for him good pleasure.
I want you to think about this verse. It is God who works in you to will. That means you don't have a free will. Your will is full of sin. Your will is under the curse. It is God who works in you to will. When you've chosen God, when you've chosen Christ, and you look back, you realize that he chose through you. It's a mystery. You don't know how it works. But God says, go, work out your own salvation. Seek me, read your Bible, pray. He says, work out your own salvation. Because all the time it was God working through you, number one through your will. When you choose God, you're not better than the one who rejects him. It is God who works through you to will. God grabbed hold of your sinful will and changed it. And you say, oh God, I want you, I need you. God took your will and changed it so that you chose him. And you say, thank you, Lord, you chose through me. It's a mystery, but it humbles us, huh?
Yes.
You can't say, I chose God. I chose him. I've got a free will. I can choose him or reject him. You can reject him, yes, because we are born in sin. But it's Almighty God who gave you the hunger. It's Almighty God who gave you that longing to be a child of God. It is God who works in you to will as well as to do. Whatever you've done, whether you've handed out tracts, whether you've prayed with a lost soul and brought it to the Lord, it's God who works in you. I don't know how it works. I just know I surrender all. And then I realized it was God working through me. The Almighty, Omnipotent, Sovereign God. He changed me. He gave me the longing. I'm not better than the one who rejects me. All of us have rejected him. We are born rejecting God. It's a miracle when any soul is saved. Because God didn't have to save us. He could just have left us. But he loved us. And he sent his son to save us.
Yes, ma'am.
So, who wins this world? The Almighty God, the Triune God, the God who loved so much that he gave the best he had, his only son. And he sent the Holy Spirit to make your dead spirit alive. Your dead spirit he makes alive. When we read that, how he made our spirit alive, that's very important for us to know that. Can I ask somebody to stand and read Colossians 2, verse 13? Colossians 2, verse 13, we will have it first. Anybody? And another one, Ephesians 2, verse 1.
And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with you, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Do you hear what she read? We are born, all of us, with a dead spirit, even that beautiful little Emma. We are all born with a body, mind, and spirit. And the spirit is dead. We are born with a dead spirit. We cannot love God. We cannot believe. We cannot choose Him. But then the Holy Spirit comes. He takes your dead spirit. And suddenly you make it alive. And suddenly you start crying for your sin. Suddenly you realize, I killed Jesus. Suddenly you start longing for the Bible. God makes your dead spirit alive. Is here the next one?
Ephesians 2 verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins.
You were dead in your sin, and then the Holy Spirit came, and he awakened that dead spirit. And suddenly, you loved Jesus, whom you hated. Suddenly, you longed for heaven. Suddenly, your eyes opened. I hope all of you have experienced that. That big, big miracle. You know, some people that love, all of us, we love miracles. We love when we see something very sick and it's getting up as well. We love miracles we can see with our eyes. We all love that. It's dry, we pray, and then the rain comes, we can see. We love visible miracles, all of us. It's sort of a temptation. Because we love the visible things we can see. But you know, God can create anything by speaking. When he speaks, you see these majestic mountains. When he speaks, the sea opens and his nation goes through. When God speaks, a dead child will be raised from the dead. God can do any miracle by just speaking. Except to save a lost soul, God had to die. That is why it's always the greatest miracle, an unseen miracle, when the dead spirit becomes alive.
Yes.
How many of you can say, Jesus made my spirit alive? Put up your hands.
Yes.
Who can say, Jesus saved me?
Yes.
I know I'm written in the book of life. I'm going to heaven, I know.
Thank you, Father.
Bow your head and thank God that he saved you.
Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And then he said, thank you, Lord, from your heart.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Great spirit.
So we praise the Lord that he is the one who wins the world. And that's why when you preach to thousands, to millions on the radio, you can trust God. He will make some of these spirits alive.
Yes.
He will do it. You don't say it, he says it.
Yes.
And if they don't come in, okay, you first examine yourself. Are you close to the Lord? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Because God does not want to use dirty utensils to save his soul. Have to be clean, washed, scrub clean. I always pray, Lord, scrub me clean. Every little crevice in my life, wash me, show me where there's a hindrance that you cannot use me. Because God wants to use clean people, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Every time when you speak, God wants to speak through you.
Yes.
Wants to use you. But he is a man, the God The sovereign Almighty God, He saves their souls. And He will see that from every nation there will be somebody. He saves the people, not you and me. If you and me saved them, if it was a thing on a free world, we would rush. We won't sleep. We'll take every person and say, you better go to hell. You must be saved. We'll do everything in our power. But it's not us. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who saves people, who can trust Him. That's His work. And He'll bring them in. The Father said, all that Jesus said, all that the Father gave me shall come to me.
Yeah.
I haven't lost one that you gave me.
No.
Jesus said, we can relax, but the fire of the Holy Spirit will be inside us to go and win the world for God. Jesus, but all the time I be very humble and know it's God working through me as well as to do His work. Right, we carry on, and we are now for the next one. What does my world consist of? Can you quickly say to each other, too? What does your world consist of? Quickly tell each other. Your world, what does your world consist of? Your personal world. Say, my peers, my school, my church, my town, my country. We are different countries here. And then back to the Bible, we see God is blessing us. We are pleading now with Him, Lord, some new countries, please, that you get like some new flags. In the past years, the college is now 28 years old, and we've been there 19 years this year. God has sent 32 countries. We didn't go one thing for them, He sent them to us. People know we are looking for different countries. And you know, almost all of Africa's countries are in South Africa. If you meet somebody from a strange country and they want to study the Bible, please contact us. I'll give you my number, I'll give you my card, I'll give you our address. Please send them to us if God is calling you. And if God calls you to come to us for a year, listen to His voice. Come, God will bless you. He will teach you how to mix with 20 countries, different ones. May the Lord Jesus take your world this morning and show you your calling. What is your calling with your mom and dad? I remember one girl who was saved at the camp. Oh, and she went to the pastor and said, you know, I came to this camp and my mommy doesn't know God. How can I win my mommy for God? And the pastor gave a very brilliant answer. He said, go home and do everything she wants you to do before she asks you. And that mommy found the Lord Jesus through a girl and a boy who did what they knew was right before she asked him. She said, my daughter changed so much. I must know this God who has changed your life like this. You know what is right in your life. Are you eating too much? or you're smoking in secret, you know what your sins are. We each have favorite sins. We each have personality sins that are born within. Some of us eat too much, speak too much, some too little. You know your favorite sin. Are you worrying a lot? What is your favorite sin? Bring it to Jesus. He can save you from that sin. He can change you to be a radiant child of God. But I know in Africa they love saying you must eat more and go to the next step and higher and higher. No, 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 no. The Lord said lower, lower. He must become more and I must become less. I must be crucified. And it's painful. It's not easy to be crucified. I must be crucified. I must stand in the back and Jesus can be in front. Oh, that old self, you know, we think he's crucified and the next morning he's up again. The temper is there, the unhappiness is there, the selfishness is there, living for myself. But the Lord Jesus wants us, he wants us to, in our world, our little world, with myself, with the people nearest to me, the people furthest, the Lord wants to use you. He died so that you can be used to bring in the lost. He doesn't send angels. He uses you and me to love people, to pray people into the arms of Jesus. Right? What does my world consist of? Are there different ways? Of course. When you look at the flowers, when you look at the animals, when you look at all the different things God has created. He's a God of ingenuity, of so many different things. He's got a special way to speak to you. He's got a special way to call you. I asked my husband, I asked Mariette, shortly, 5 minutes, to say, how did Jesus find you? What did he use to bring you to him? Baba Shai, that's how they call you. Not professor or doctor. Baba Shai. Yeah. I'm not professor or doctor. I'm just Mama Alameda. Yeah.
Sure, my wife is speaking to me this morning.
Come on.
Yeah. I grew up in a very strict military house. My father was a Second World War veteran. Very disciplined, but he didn't know the Lord Jesus. I've never heard him pray in my life. I've never seen him reading the Bible, apart from just saying grace before we eat. That's all. My mom, she grew up very reformed, but she was an angel. I think she was born an angel. She was a child of the Lord. She taught me about the love of Jesus. My father gave me a lot of ideas. But I thank the Lord for all the hidings I got. Otherwise, I might have been behind bars now if it wasn't for my dad. So I thank the Lord for a very disciplined dad. I can recall one day, my mom, she was knocking at the bathroom door and saying to my dad, "You're killing my son, you're killing my son," when I was naughty. And he gave me a good hiding. He didn't say bend down for 5 or 6. He just hit me with his belt all over. That's how I grew up. He was a very, very strong man. And at the age of 72, he was in hospital about to die. And he fell off his bed. And the Lord said to him, "Last chance." He accepted Jesus without anybody with him but Jesus. That was my father and a loving mother. And I did everything according to the rules, otherwise I would get a big hiding. And then I went to high school. And then Uncle Dries Steyn from the Student Christian Association, he visited us. And that evening he was speaking to us in the boys' hostel, and he said, "You can know whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell." And that night I couldn't sleep because I didn't know. I was saying to myself, I've got a very disciplined father and a loving mother. And then the Lord just spoke to me and said, "No. They're not going to be with you when you stand in front of the white throne. You're going to be alone. Either you go to heaven or hell." and I knew I was on my way to hell. And the next morning in the German class, Uncle Gis saying he made an invitation, John 3:16, and I just got up first, and I've never prayed in my life aloud, never. I got up and I just prayed after him the sinner's prayer. And ever since then, my life changed completely. So much so that my father, he said, you're going to become a pastor because of your life. And I couldn't become a pastor. But I wish that my father would have been alive by now to know that I'm not the pastor, but I'm teaching people to love Jesus. And back to God.
And you have heard my testimony, how the love of the Lord saved me. But I just want to say what happened further. At that moment, I thought I was saved and I was in the body of Christ. I cannot tell you why it took longer for me to be walking in obedience. But the Lord gave me a scripture in John 6, verse 44 and 45. And I would just like to read that before I tell you. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent him, draw him unto me, and I will raise him up at the last day. And it's written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And then I understood in 1983, when you heard my testimony, when the Lord saved me there, there was a 5-year period where he taught me his word. And he walked with me, and I obeyed him. But I was only then reborn truly in 1987 in May. During that period of time, I was very depressed. I tried to commit suicide. I was married. My 3 children were born. But it was a very terrible time. I believe it was because Satan tried to get me back into his kingdom, and he wanted me to kill myself. And I had to have a hysterectomy in 1987. And as I was in hospital before going in for the operation, I prayed to God, please Lord, take my life. I'd rather die being a child of you than Satan stealing me. And after the operation, I woke up and I was so disappointed of not being dead. And while I was still battling with these thoughts and the lights, I cannot tell you the brightness of the light that entered my hospital room. A lot of people said to me, it's because of the narcosa, I don't know what you call narcosa, but through the operation, yeah. And but I tell you, it was the Lord. Why I tell you this is, I knew the Bible as a Satanist, even on what page certain things stood. And then there came in that bright light a thought, and that was the first time the Holy Spirit spoke to me. A thought came up in my heart. Sorry, Matthew 2, verse 25. And it says, if you hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you lay down your life to serve me, you will have eternal life. And then I understood, God took my life. He answered my prayer, but now my life belongs to him. And I'm saved, and I walk with him. So there was no human, and afterwards people tried to convince me that I need deliverance, I need this, I need that. God's word tells you that his word is setting us free. If you grab his word and you walk with his word through the Holy Spirit, you will be delivered. The light will drive the darkness away. And remember, Jesus Christ is the word. I just want to give you the scriptures. Hebrews 3, verse 6. Jesus will be faithful over you if you hold on to him as your hope. And Revelation 3:10. He will hold you in his hand even when tribulation comes over this world. The word of God is faithful, because Psalm 138 verse 2 says, God magnified his word by his name.
Yes.
So God's word, the power of Jesus Christ, God's power saved me. And that's how I was saved.
Amen. Amen.
I wish we had some more time, because I would have loved to hear from you. How did Jesus find you? When you look there, you see my own. I shortly told you some one of the days. I grew up in a very godly home. You bumped against Jesus every time you walked around the corner in my home. The Lord was there. My mom and dad, they led many souls to the Lord. They sent many missionaries to the mission field. My blind granny was a prayer warrior, and they prayed me in because I ran away from God. I don't know if there's somebody here who's still running. I ran away from God. I wanted all the thrills of life, but I didn't want God. I didn't want all the rules. I resisted the rules and regulations. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I said, just leave me alone. I want to be free. Many young people say that today. Just leave me. I want to do my thing. I've got my idea. But the Lord had to speak in a very hard way to me in 7-8, that number 10. I was a victory to Durham of the school. I was a netball captain. I was a very bright little star. First in my class, no man could beat me. That's why it's difficult for me to obey under men, because I was always better than them at school. But the Lord humbled me. In standard 9, there was a new girl. She was running faster than me. I practiced day and night. I'm going to get that cup again. And you know, a week before the big athletics, I disobeyed my father. I went to go swimming with the boys in the river. My dad said, ladies and men don't swim together. But I disobeyed him and I went to swim with him. Somebody pushed me from the float that was inside the river and I dislocated my knee. I was so furious. I was so disappointed. I was so full of heartache because there I sat on the pavilion and me and my daughter, she ran and she got the cup. I was sitting there, frustrated, and God softly spoke to me and said, is that what you're living for? The one thrill after the other, I wasn't living for him. That evening, my brother, very, very godly man, missionary all his life, he pushed me against the kitchen wall and said, not so happy you have to hear your way. Now I will pray for you until the Lord will save you. God saved me one night under the stars. I was alone and I suddenly knew when I looked up at the Southern Cross, I knew He changed into Calvary for me. And God said, you killed my son. I? Yes, your sin killed my son.
Yes.
And you're on your way to hell. I have a fright of God on my life. And I broke, my heart broke when I realized I killed Jesus with my sins. And He changed me. I never swore again. I used God's name in vain. I was the wild girl at the school. I was the one drinking with my friends, smoking with them. The people said to my father, first preach to your daughter before we listen to you again. Sometimes we put a line to our parents' ministry, but God heard their prayers. He saw their tears, and that night, 1 April 1957, under the stars, God saved me. He gave me the gift to be born again. And I'm pleading Him for my 13 grandchildren. Papa Shai and me, we plead every day, Lord, give them the gift to be born again. It's a gift that God gives to who He wants. And when He has taken that dead spirit and made it alive, then they can choose Him. That's what we pray. And if there's somebody here, you know you're lost. You know you're on your way to hell, even though you're at the Christian camp. I plead with you, don't go home before you've come, that we can pray with you and help you, that you can choose the living God, that you can become born again. It's a gift, you can ask for it. He can give it to you. Yes, my time is much too short. Bible examples. If we can take a few examples from the Bible, how God sent them out, called them and sent them out. The Lord called David with his music, there with his harp under the trees of Bethlehem. The Lord called Moses to the burning bush. The Lord called Naaman, he first had to get leprosy before he returned to the living God. The disciples next to the lake are being frightened when they were working, and he called them. I'm sending you. He called that man, that tax collector at the money table. He called Saul with a light and a voice. God has different ways of saving people, different ways. When we look at modern day examples, I wish I had time. Let me tell you one story, but there are so many, and you can also share with each other many stories about God, how God saved people and sent them out, how they changed the world. You cannot change the world if you don't change first. But if you are changed, God will change everything and everybody around you in time. I want to tell you the story of Dr. Johannes Reimer. He's a German who grew up in Russia. It was a German colony in Russia. He grew up as an atheist. They teach the little children, the little ones, God is dead. They repeat it, God is dead. They put it into their minds. And he grew up as an atheist. And at university, he was brilliant, studying science, and he was the box champion of the university. And then two Christians enrolled at the university, and the authorities called him and said, Johannes, your job is to make them atheists. They tried everything. He even beat their teeth out to make them reject God. They just couldn't get it right. These people had shiny lights inside them that it infuriated him, that he could not change them. Then he and the conference one evening, they called him and said, there's a secret church here in the bushes. Come, he's going to beat them up and kill them. And he went with them. And as they came to the little church there amongst the bushes, standing there in the back, the man who was trying to realize the comrades, that he was surrounded by the comrades. And as they were standing there at the back of the church, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, thinking maybe for the last time before they killed him. And then, as this man realized this is the truth, he turned around and ran out of the church because he knew this was the truth. But he ran against a very tall man standing in the door. And as he ran against this man said, you're a coward. You know this is the truth that man is preaching. I'm a secret believer. You know God has spoken to you. Turn around. Go to the front. Go and surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. He's the God of the universe. And stricken by his conscience, he turned around. And he ran to the front and he knelt. With tears, he surrendered his life. And of course, they grabbed him. They stripped him of his boxing medal. And they stopped his studies and they put him in a concentration camp, and they commanded the officer in charge to kill him. So the officer in charge thought out how can he kill this man. So he took a gas bottle that was filled, and he gave him a tin opener and said, now you will now open it like this, it will explode into his face and he will be dead. So you are now condemned to die with this gas bottle. And as he was opening it, they ordered him, he had no choice, and he did it for Jesus. He was not ready to deny Jesus. It exploded in his face, they took him to hospital, his fingers were in tatters, he was lying there, he was like a guinea pig, you know, they did all kinds of operations on him, but in his heart he knew, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, I thank God. He saved my life. I'm willing to die for you. And then the Lord allowed him to be better and better. And then as they were allowed to leave Russia, go back to Germany, the Lord healed his eyes and he became a world evangelist. And he prayed, he was preaching at our church in Pretoria, and young people Many people were called to go into the missionaries of this land. They are wonderful stories, and I wish we had time, but Mabasha already showed me on the works that time is finished. When we look at the modern day examples, I'm sure when you look at the people around you, God has called Dr. Peter Hammond, God has called the people at Frontline Fellowship, the Lord has called Mabasha and me, and the Lord has called Marie. And he's called our doctor. He's called different people for different worlds. But he's calling you this morning. And I'm challenging you. Where does God want to use you? Where does God want to use you? I want you to open a book where you can write. And I want you to write down. Yes. Where is God calling you now?
Yes, yes.
Where is God calling you? Write it down. Take your pen, everybody. Take your pen and write down. Where is God calling you? Maybe you can say, maybe I'm going to Frontline Fellowship. Maybe I'm going to back to the Bible mission. I'm going to give a year of my life to go and reach out with the Jesus soul. Every weekend you can come and reach out with the Jesus soul with us. Where is God calling you? Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord. Methods of world evangelism, we've heard so many here. Literature, Jesus soul, testifying one on one, praying. I want to show you something. When Jesus saved me, he said your first task is not speaking to people, even though I love doing that, but pray. Here's my prayer file. I want you to get a prayer file for yourself. My family pictures are inside here. And the missionaries I pray for, their pictures are here. Make a file of prayer for you that you can pray through it. Make it that you can pray on the faces of the people, your mom and dad, your granny, maybe somebody who's lost. And then the Lord called me, and he called me and Baba Shai, that brought us together, I told you the other day, to pray for missionaries. These are missionary file of Back to the Bible Mission. We have 300 missionaries we pray for every day. Every student's got two or three missionaries. Please adopt some missionaries. That's the way in which you can win the world. There are so many different ways. I wish it was time, but the time is finished now. How can you work for Christ? He died for you. He gave his life. He trusts you with the gospel. How does he want to use you? And sometimes, without words, you have to love people into the arms of God. I want all of us to take hands, please. Take hands. There you go. I want you to bow before the Lord Jesus. I want you to surrender your whole life to Him. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, here am I, send me.
Yes, Lord.
I'm willing to go anywhere you say.
Yes.
I'm a place for you that only you can reach lost people.
Yes.
Come to sit at home and enjoy. Go, go with the gospel.
Yes,
and we thank God for Dr. Peter Hammond writing. Printing, so that we can take these things, use them in your family and in your world.
Yes,
let's pray. Father, you've challenged us this morning. You are the one who saves souls. You are the one who keeps them until they reach heaven. You are the one that says, go and preach the gospel, live the gospel, love people, pray them into my arms. I'm sending you as sheep amongst the wolves. I'm with you. My angels will be around you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've got a calling on your life, O Lord Jesus. Send us out after this camp. Awaken us. Let us have souls on fire for Jesus Christ. And let Calvary be our example. Jesus was willing to give everything. You'll carry us through. You will not fail us. Lord, we don't want to stand with empty hands before you one day. We want many souls to follow us, that we pray in, that we preach in, that we live into your arms. Use every one of us exactly the way you want to.
Yes.
Here we are, Lord. Send us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want all of you to say, Lord, here am I, send me.
Lord, here am I, send me. Thank you, Jesus.